Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. You have tuned in to episode number 365 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. And tonight we are doing our deep dive episode, and this one's going to be a real shallow in deep dive because I've been experimenting with DSTAR and XLX for all of like 2 days now. So I'm going to consider myself an expert at this point.
A professional. Complete.
Absolutely. I know all there is to know about DSTAR, but we're not actually going to, well, I mean, we're going to touch on DSTAR because the episode is technically about DSTAR reflectors and specifically one open source DSTAR reflector called XLX, which, if you have a PiStar unit, you know, you've probably seen XLX in your dashboard before, but we're going to get to all that. Before we do, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Russ, K5TUX. Cheryl is on assignment this week, W5MOO, but we have a very happy Bill.
Absolutely, and I'm Bill, NE4RD. Good evening.
And he's going to be a color commentary tonight. Oh, wait, do we have someone from the other room coming in?
Uh-oh.
No,
nope. She's turned around and ran. She's like, oh, no, you're recording. I'm out of here. Yeah. Get out of here.
You're still on assignment.
Yeah.
So because I have just recently purchased an ICOM IC7100, which has given me access to the wonderful world of DSTAR for the first time in my amateur radio career, I have been playing with it. So
now we should preface this that like XLX and DSTAR kind of came out of our conversation on the last deep dive, and we've kind of been mulling this over and kind of talking in the Discord room about DSTAR and talking about like the way to get into it. And then you were like, oh, you know, 7100, yeah, it's got DSTAR, it's HF, you might be able to like send me back my Alinko.
Yes, as a matter of fact, your Alinko is in a box and ready to head back to you, so I hope you're ready to do something with it.
So. I'm putting it in the truck, and even though I'm back to riding the bike every day, so thank God. But you took a big jump into the closed source world and purchased a DSTAR rig from ICOM.
I did, and the only reason I did that is because of all of the sort of digital voice technologies that are out there right now. It's the only one I didn't really have any way to use. I'd been hooked up with AllStar and Echolink and IRLP and DMR and Yaesu System Fusion and all of that stuff, and the one outlier was DSTAR, and which is kind of interesting because I think as far as timeline in the amateur radio service, DSTAR, I'm pretty sure, was first of all of those.
That I can remember. At least in the amateur radio spectrum, like, I remember DSTAR very early on, like early 2000s probably. I
mean, right.
I don't even know what the original date is, and I'll look that up while I'm thinking about it, but I remember it coming out a long time ago.
It's one of those protocols that was not originally for the amateur radio service. It was just an open source voice codec and everything, and it wound up being taken over and used by the Japanese Amateur Radio League, the JARL.
Yeah, late 90s, actually. So 1998. Is when they started investigating it, and then the DSTAR was actually released and published in 2001. So that's
why
the early 2000s kind of came to mind. I remember, yeah, I'm just kind of looking through the Wikipedia page because my brain is fried. I remember like when DSTAR came out, you had like that 1.2 gigahertz radio from ICOM came out. I think, Kenwood and ICOM were both kind of early on in the DSTAR market when it came to it, because it did come out of the JARL. So it was not uncommon to see those, but it, you know, obviously ICOM is what most people put as a synonym to DSTAR, is that that's an ICOM brand, but it technically isn't.
Right. It's technically not. Actually, as I understand it, I'm going to try and get this right, and someone will correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure. But DSTAR itself is actually an open protocol. It can be used by anybody. But what happened was the first instantiation of DSTAR was done by on a commercial chip, which is the AMBI chip, the AMBI vocoder, which that is the proprietary part, whereas D-Star is open. So you can implement D-Star without AMBI, but when they started all of this stuff going on, everybody used AMBI because it was the implementation of the day. And so it carried forward. And so in order to use D-Star, at least in its current, you know, iteration on your ICOM radios and your Kenwood D-74s and so on, they all have proprietary AMBI chips in them. So that's how you decode and encode the packets.
It's virtually the codec that actually is the compression standard for the voice channel.
Right. It's one of those things that I've been trying to wrap my head around, and I can't because I know part of it's open, part of it isn't, blah, 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 blah.
Right. And I think as of, well, I'm looking here also, like as of 2017, the patents have expired. According to Bruce Perrins, K6BP, at the 2017 AWRL Tapper DCC in his State of the Digital Voice talk. So there you go.
Right. But we're going to talk a little bit about transcoding when it comes to the XLX reflector in a second, or maybe more than a second, but it still requires a proprietary AMBI vocoder if you want to do that kind of thing. But I don't know how far down the rabbit hole of getting into D-Star we wanted to go here. I don't want to make this a deep dive about D-Star itself. I mean, it's a digital voice technology. It's implemented by mostly ICOM, some Kenwood, and I think there's probably some like open built kits out there that do D-Star. There's also a technology or a project called FreeStar, which was created and deployed by some Canadian hams, which is, I think, an open source implementation of the D-Star protocol or something like that. A lot of this is kind of confusing. I think FreeStar radios can talk to D-Star radios, but there's like a whole network for FreeStar and everything, and this is not about that either. So what you can do with D-Star is you can have a repeater that has D-Star in it, so you can have nodes connecting to a repeater that can be used in that way to transmit D-Star signals and be encoded and decoded at remote ends. You can also do sort of local simplex D-Star. You can do HF D-Star, which is digital voice over HF, kind of in the way that FreeDV is like, but FreeDV uses the open source codec to codec. And so this is just a way of creating a digital voice packet that has to be encoded and decoded at both ends over standard radio frequencies instead of something analog. And what's also included in D-Star is the ability to route data packets through a network, say like, oh, the internet. You know, that's a big network that most people are attached to in some way.
Tiny.
It's yeah. no one's ever heard of the thing, but you know. So D-Star is one of those early adoption technologies that allows you to do RF with digital voice and also link systems together, whether it be repeaters or nodes or whatever. And that ability allows you to get wide area communications over VHF if you don't have an HF path or whatever. And some of the later technologies like DMR and system fusion and, what are the other ones? The ones we've already talked about, do that same sort of thing. All-Star, Echolink, blah, blah, blah. They leverage the internet so you can pass traffic across networks.
So you can do not real ham radio, basically.
Right? That's right. This is Bill's.
It expands the ability of your RF signal to leave the world of RF and join the world of copper and light and be transmitted to, you know, a million different places, maybe a billion. I don't know.
And I understand why you're saying it's not real ham radio, because a lot of this, because it, like, especially if you're using Echolink, like on a portable device, you can be doing amateur radio without any radio whatsoever.
And as usual, I'm just kidding about the not real ham radio.
No, you're this, not at all.
This is really cool stuff. It's just I've never taken the plunge, and we keep talking about it, and I still haven't been convinced or sold that I need to take the plunge. But I've been real interested in following all of your work that you've been doing at home, kind of buying all these little parts and putting them all together and stuff like I mentioned in the last podcast, or the XLX was something we kind of talked about, but said, maybe this will save us for a new episode. And since we were kind of short on content, I convinced Russ here to talk about XLX, which we should probably start doing, because XLX not only does D-Star, but it does other stuff too.
It does. And let me get a little bit into that before we get to XLX, because D-Star implements a couple of protocols, and the first one was D+, and that's like if you're going into a reflector called REF on your Pi Star system, or even if you're connecting via a repeater that's linked to the internet, the REFs use the D+ protocol. Then there was DCS, which was a different kind of D-Star implemented by a German group. And the state of that project, I'm not really sure of. I guess the people who originated it gave up on it, and it was taken over by other people. But it uses its own protocol called DCS, which is still D-Star. And then there are two open source projects for creating reflectors for D-Star. One is XRF, and the other is XLX. And XRF uses a protocol called D-Extra, which is still D-Star. So you can run one of those if you want. There's a software package called DXRFD, and there are several implementations of DXRFD if you want to run an XRF reflector. But the most interesting of these projects is the last one, which is XLX. And the reason it's most interesting of these projects is because it implements all of those protocols, DCS, D-Extra, and D+. And not only that, but the software, because some really skilled and interesting people have reverse engineered the data packets for other networks like DMR and C4FM, this reflector allows you to connect all of these things together. And you may be wondering, like, what exactly is a reflector? Well, what a reflector is a software package. It's just running on a computer, and it is accepting input across a network of data packets of audio, and it will take them in, ingest them, and then put them back out to everything connected to that reflector. So this is a way of linking remote systems together and having data coming in from any one of those go out to all the rest of them that are connected to the reflector. So it literally, a packet comes in and it gets reflected to all of the other things that are connected to that reflector. XLX is super interesting because it can take DMR, it can take YSF, it can take D-Star, and it can reflect all of those. And if you have a Pi Star system, you'll see all of these XLX reflectors on your Pi Star node. And since XLX is open source and has the ability to do all of this stuff, you can build your own. So if you want to connect a bunch of buddies together, or a club or an organization or something, where you have your own private reflector, you can do that. The software is, of course, free. I think it's, is it GPL? I didn't look to see what.
XLX?
Yeah.
I'll look at the license real quick. I think it is GPL. It might be LGPL.
It's hosted over at GitHub by LX3JL. And I know there's another person, LX1IQ, who's also working on XLX, and perhaps other developers.
GPL V3.
So you can download the software and build it and run your own XLX reflector on your machine, and you can talk D-Star anywhere that you can connect D-Star. It has some features that some of the other reflectors don't have. Like, for example, you can connect other XLX reflectors to your XLX reflector, so you can make your reflection network even bigger. And it will, I think I saw this somewhere, but I'm not I don't have the link in front of me, but if you're not using DSTAR specifically, if you're connecting with DMR and YSF, I believe it will transcode those natively between the two. But you can also transcode between DSTAR and the other two if you have an AMBI vocoder chip. Now, they're not like trivially cheap to buy these things. A USB that decodes three simultaneous streams, I want to say, costs $300. So, yeah, not like just pocket change, because that technology is still proprietary. But if you decide you wanted to do that, you could outlay $300 or so, or more, depending on the hardware device you want, and it will transcode between DMR, System Fusion, and DSTAR. And so people on DSTAR can talk to people on System Fusion, which is something that, as of now at least, PiStar itself cannot do. There is no, if you look at the options for transcoding, you can do DMR to YSF, you can do YSF to DMR, you can do YSF to NXTN, but you can't do any of those things to or from DSTAR. That's because it requires that proprietary hardware. But XLX allows you to do that. And the procedure for building this thing is really not that bad. The instructions come from Ham November 5 Alpha Mike Delta. And he walks through, I mean, like literally typing commands for how you get this thing built up. It's really simple. There's a script you download. You run it as root, and it will ask you some basic questions, like what do you want your reflector number to be? What's the host name of this reflector going to be? What's the dashboard URL? Stuff like that. And then it downloads, compiles, builds, and installs it on your system, and it takes all of 5 minutes, and you're done. And then you have a reflector set up. Now, there's a couple of caveats here, I guess. If you want to call them caveats, I don't know. there's
gotchas, right?
The gotchas. There's a site called xrxreflector.de. I think I have that right. Let me look it up real quick.
xrxreflector.de.
Or xreflectors.de. Maybe it's xreflectors.de. Or xreflector.de. It's one of those. I know it. I know it in my soul.
Oh, well, there's an xrefl.net. That's not the one.
No, that's not the one. This ends in DE. It's definitely .de.
Okay.
Oh, it's Y. Is it YSF? Okay, it's YSF reflector. Sorry, it's not X reflector. Okay.
That's why I can't find it.
Right. Because this actually has to do with the part of XRX that supports YSF or Yaesu System Fusion or C4FM or whatever the hell you want to call it. XRX implements its own System Fusion master if you deploy it in the standard configuration. And what this means is you don't have to connect to the YSF reflector registry. You don't have to register your YSF node. And you can talk, you can use your reflector to talk YSF between people as long as they know where to connect, where your reflector is. And this is great, except it doesn't get put out into the registry, so it like won't get downloaded to people's Pi stars and stuff like that. I had a thing, so there's a new way to do, so you can install XRX that way and have it host its own rooms for System Fusion. Or you can use the older script, make a couple of weird coding changes, because XRX wants to take over for System Fusion or
XLX, right?
What did I say?
You keep saying XRX.
Oh, I'm sorry, XLX.
I was getting confused.
I'm getting like, confused too. I say all these acronyms. It's like, oh my God, what are we talking about?
So many letters.
I know.
Jeez.
So anyway,
so we're talking about the YSF reflector Debian installer, right? For XLX.
Right. Okay. So XLX implements its own YSF reflector because you can connect YSF connections to it, but they're sort of private. They don't show up on YSF reflector.de and they don't get downloaded to PiStars and stuff like that. but you can still use it to communicate using system fusion radios, for example. The problem is, like I said, it doesn't show up. So there's a way you can make it so that XLX doesn't do that. And you can use a separate package, a separate reflector called YSF reflector, which you do have to register at ysfreflector.de, but it gives you a static reflector ID and it gets published so that Pi stars can see it. The problem is XLX wants to run on the same port as YSF reflector, which is port 42,000. So you have to do a little bit of a sneaky configuration to put XLX on a different port. So that YSF can actually run where it's supposed to.
Cause these are all ports you need to expose to the router, right?
Yeah. If you're running behind a router, there's a bunch of ports you have to, allow through for any of this stuff to work. There's ports. Yeah,
you gotta be a port mapping expert on your whatever Wi-Fi router that you chose to run.
Right.
In your house. Okay.
Yeah. Cause there's ports in the 10,000 range, the 20,000 range, I think in the 30,000 range, the 40,000 range, and the 60,000 range, that you have to open up for all this stuff to work. There, luckily the documentation for this is quite good. I'm looking at the port list here. It's massive. but the different ports are used by the different protocols, the different D-Star protocols, for example, the DCS, the DX, or the D plus, for YSF, for DMR, so on and so forth. So if you're behind a firewall, or if you're using IP tables or something like that, you have to open up all these ports to allow the traffic through. And if you decide to use the AMBI chip, you have to install another piece of software called AMBI-D. And you have to open up another set of ports for that if that AMBI chip is not on your XLX box. Because the XLX reflector can be on a different machine than your AMBI decoder. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Maybe there's some reason. Maybe your reflector is not powerful enough to do, but it's a hardware encoder. So, I mean, it should work fine.
Maybe you're using that illegal software version of the AMBI decoder chip.
Maybe so. I don't know. Well, your choices are up to you, I guess. Too many TLAs. So, yes. And Tony says DMZ for the win. So, yeah, you could DMZ a radio or a computer if you're going to run a reflector on it. Then you don't have to worry about opening ports and then you can be hacked much more easily.
All right. But that's if you're running Pi Star and your XLX on the same box.
Yeah. Which I don't know that I'd recommend that.
Because you're going to have one connect to the other. That would be bad, right?
Well, I mean, that's what I do. I have my XLX reflector running on just a separate machine. And if I want to link something to it so I can hear it, I just have Pi Star connect to it via some protocol. And typically that's going to be D-Star because, you know, that's what we're talking about here. XLX reflectors are D-Star. Hmm. So I wish, you know, I wish that the hardware decoding thing wasn't really necessary because it's kind of a pain in the butt. And, to be able to transcode between DMR and D-Star would be really cool. But, it doesn't work. At least not yet.
Well, it becomes complicated. Like you need a second AMBI decoder just to handle that, independent of the way you're getting the signal to RF.
Right, right. So in other words, you have to have a radio with an AMBI decoder in it.
Right, and like another MDM, MMDV stick or something like that, or another, well, probably not another radio, probably just a stick, I would think, if you're using the actual hardware. Otherwise, there is that other option, but we shall not talk about the other option because there's big question marks on whether you can actually use that or not, but a little bit of Googling, you can figure that out on your own.
Absolutely. So what I've done is I've created an XLX reflector, and I might as well just give out the information here since we're talking about it. What you're supposed to do when you build these things is go to whatever site it is. Well, actually, it doesn't matter because when you build the XLX reflector, it comes with its own built-in dashboard. So you go to the dashboard that you built and you go to the node list and it will list all the nodes for you.
So it spins up a little web server.
It does spin up a little web server.
You go to the IP address of the box that you just installed it on, which is probably like a Raspberry Pi or something like that, right?
It could be. I installed it in a VM. But,
oh, okay. So you have a VM. So it has an IP address and it's on port 80, I'm assuming. So you don't have to like put /, you know,
right,
whatever.
So, absolutely. Yeah,
so it's on the main thing. So if you have something else on that same box on port 80,
you're gonna have to do some creative configuring.
So use a virtual machine like Tony says in the chat room, or like you did, or if you have a separate Pi that you're going to build this on, you can do that as well.
Right. So once you go to the node list, it will list all of the active nodes. You don't have to register a node per se when you're building XLX, but what they want you to do is go through the list, find a number that has not been used yet. And there are lots of numbers that haven't been used, so you just find one. And then you tell the XLX build that that's the number you want to use. And you build it using that number. And then what happens is there's a config toggle called calling home. And when you're ready to go live, you change that config toggle from false to true, and you reboot the XLX reflector. And when you do that, it will call home, and it will send you an authentication hash when it has determined that you have chosen an XLX number that does not already exist. And once you've done that, you have essentially claimed that reflector number. And as long as you keep that hash, then that reflector number will always be yours. And I, for example, claimed 659. So if you happen to be, I don't know why you'd be doing this, but if you happen to be doing this when you're staring at your PiStar dashboard, and go to your DStar configuration and hit the DStar reflector dropdown, if you go down into the XLX section and look for XLX 659, you will see it there. And it supports 26 different what it calls modules or chat rooms. It labels the first three A, B, and C, A being international, B being regional, and C being local. But you can have anywhere from A through Z. And what these are is the same reflector can have multiple chat rooms. So if you connect to XRX 659A, for example, which I'm calling the primary on my particular reflector, then you will only hear traffic for people who are connected to XRX 659A. You can have lots of other people connected to the reflector on XRX 659, some other module, and they will only be talking to the people who are connected similarly to that module. And if you're familiar at all with DStar, you should be relatively comfortable with configuring your radio to connect to reflectors. So like some people might often connect to some of the busy reflectors like REF 001C or REF 030C. Those are pretty popular and pretty busy reflectors. Those use the old proprietary ambient coders, and those are some of the earlier reflectors, so they've got, and they're still in the closed source. So they've got a bigger following because they've been around a lot longer. But your radio can also connect to the other reflectors as well, as long as you have a gateway of some sort, like a PiStar or a local repeater or whatever. So instead of sending a, you know, REF 001CL to link, you would send a XRX 659, AL to connect to chat group A or module A on that reflector. And then once you get connected, you're connected. Anybody else who's on that reflector will hear it. And if that reflector is connected to other things like C4FM, PiStar, or if you have the ambient coder, another DMR link someplace, then all traffic coming in will be dispersed to all traffic, to all connected nodes going out. So it's a pretty handy thing. It's free software. It's easy to do, and you could spin one up and, never even make it public if you wanted to, just to build the software and stuff. Going through the automated setup scripts is really easy. It just kind of handles everything for you, asks you like, I think it's three questions, and then you're done. And as long as you have your ports poked open and an address to go to, You have a reflector running. You know, you have to jump through a few more hoops if you want to make it public and available to, you know, to folks out there on the intertubes. But pretty straightforward. Have I wasted enough time talking about this?
Absolutely not. Not enough time. I haven't finished my drink yet. So, you know, you need to keep rambling. No, it sounds really cool and really easy. I mean, the software seems simple enough to get set up.
The N5 AMD documentation and the pre-built scripts for going through this made it really, really easy. I mean, the hardest part was just waiting for, like, doing that final config tweak and waiting for my reflector to call home so it would register with the network. Mm-hmm. And then you have to wait for people's Pi Stars to download the latest host files so they'll update.
Yeah.
So it was basically, you know, you get it set up in 5 minutes and then there's a 4 to 5 hour waiting game while this stuff starts showing up around the internet. But
it's not showing up on my Peanut application here on my phone. So
I don't even know how you would get on the Peanut network.
That's something we could probably save for another deep dive.
Yeah, maybe so. If I figure out how to get on the Peanut network, that'd be great. I'd love to have the reflector show up in there, but
that would save me some time.
Yeah, so get in touch with the author of the Peanut application and just say, hey, how do I get my reflector listed in there? Are there other XRXs listed in there, or are they all just there? Are okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's see, lots of them. Well, they're all XRFs. Let's see, hold on. Let's do all.
I think I said XRX again. Sorry, XLX.
Oh, okay. Oh, these are XLXs, but I'm saying they're numbers. Are XRF numbers, which are all D-star numbers.
Yeah, I kind of gather there was something I read about the fact that...
there are some XLXs as well. I see some XLX 774, 750, 602, 508, blah, blah, blah. So, lots of those.
Okay, so apparently there's some way to get listed in the Peanut application, so we might have to pursue that, because that'd be kind of cool. Because then you can do D-star without actually having to buy a radio, which I think is the thing you're looking for.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, that you have to handle the transcoding bit. So you have to have a little bit more gear. So, yeah. It looks like Tony knows some people that know Peanut. So, and I believe we've talked to some of them before, too, in Telegram, in that Telegram Digital Cafe group.
Yeah,
those guys do the Peanut stuff.
That's entirely possible. Maybe I'll start up a GoFundMe or something to get the $300 to get the Ambi decoder, and then we don't have to worry about any of this stuff.
Yeah, there's a HubNet, guys. That's what Tony says. Yeah, so the XLX is good for just about D-Star, DMR, YSF. It gives you everything that you need to create a master transcode reflector, except for all the additional hardware you need to...
Well, all the additional hardware is just one decoder chip. I mean...
Probably for each extra mode that you're not bringing in RF, right?
My understanding was that the only thing you need to do the transcoding is one AMBI, like AMBI USB dongle, because it can transcode three streams at a time, and the only ones that it can't transcode natively is D-Star.
Oh, okay.
So if you're transcoding from DMR to YSF, it can do that already. If you're transcoding from YSF to DMR, it can do that already. If you're transcoding from either of those two into or out of D-Star, that's what it needs the AMBI chip for.
Right. And like, if you can't bring that, into All-Star or Echolink, because those are just straight audio. Analog.
Right, right. You could do it.
They need to be transcoded into the various encoders.
You could do it with an RF bridge, a separate RF bridge. But XLX will not take like a direct All-Star connection.
Oh, okay.
So
even though I have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about.
There's no way to connect to an XLX reflector using All-Star. The notion of doing that just doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
You could do it if you had like a Pi Star connected to the XLX reflector that was RFing between another radio that was connected to All Star. You could do it. You could have All Star and Echolink and IRLP and XLX, all that stuff connected together. But there has to be an RF link in between them, unless there's something that I'm not aware of, which you know, there could be.
Yeah, I was just thinking if you had everything in the audio passband at some point, like pre-encoding to the other network, that you could essentially shove or shim something in the middle.
You probably could shim something in the middle, but I'm not aware of something that does a network bridge between those two networks. If something exists like that, I would certainly love for somebody to tell me what it is, because I want to do that. And the only way I know how to do that right now is RF. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I bet it's this stuff again all mystifies me slightly.
The one thing I will say, and I want to bring this up because I know some people have issues with the fact that these technologies in a lot of cases don't actually require the use of any RF. And so why do we even consider them amateur radio? But I see it like it's a good way to get people interested in other aspects of the hobby, including the RF aspect, specifically the HF RF aspect, by giving them access to long distance communications as a technician licensee, you know, specifically in this country. But the ability to make long distance contacts using only tech privileges, I think is a gateway into HF and getting people upgraded.
Yeah, until 10 meters is open again. And then, see ya!
Well, I don't know about that.
No, I know. No, I appreciate it a lot because, you know, obviously, and I'm gonna mention the unmentionables again, the K2BSA. Yeah, they do a lot for Jamboree on the Air and Jamborees in the digital space, whether that be D-Star or any of the other digital, you know, networks, in order to circumvent the lack thereof of propagation. Because it's really hard to coordinate contacts and stuff like that with RF alone, because, you know, it is all chance unless we're into, you know, a major upswing in the solar cycles in HF. So, yeah, having things like Echolink, D-Star, and so on and so forth have been great for bridging those international connections that you cannot get with RF.
Yeah, and while there's a whole bunch of disparate networks out there, I know we've talked with Andy Taylor about this, and he's sort of one for, you know, converging all these networks together. There's a lot of disparate technology out there, but honestly, if you know sort of the right places to look on any of the given technologies, there are lots of people using it. So while you may think, oh, I've tuned into, you know, Reflector 055B and there's no one talking here and no one ever talks here, well, if you connect a 001C, you're going to find a whole different situation. And there are places to go to sort of guide you where to be if you want to be involved in any of these technologies and find the people to talk to, because they're out there. The stuff is getting used all the time. It's just the universe of digital voice technology is so big, you kind of have to focus in on the small gaps in the empty space. So, but I mean, there are websites out there that point you to all the active reflectors, all the active DMR talk groups, so on and so forth. So,
yeah, not everybody gets into these technologies specifically to have their own solution, like a little Pi Star or whatever. You know, they might be getting involved because they're part of an amateur radio club that is putting in, you know, a YSF repeater or a D-Star repeater or something like that. So, like, that's their only experience. These kind of, you know, tools like XLX and Pi Star and stuff like that allow you to kind of have your own repeater, including dragging around in the car with you, right, on your hotspot.
Yeah, that's if you've got a cell phone with an internet connection that can do hotspotting, yeah, you can take any of these devices and connect them to that mobile hotspot and use them all mobily in the vehicle, or just while you're walking around if you've got a, you know, battery pack on your back or something.
Yeah, so it does make it very compelling to kind of look at a lot of these little interesting portions of the technology that allow you to not have to be too concerned about, is there a repeater in my area?
Right.
I'm not a member of the club. Can I use that repeater? Yeah, there's slowly, you know, except for the sticker shock of a D-Star radio, there's slowly the accessibility you know, regardless of where you are, as long as you have at least the internet.
You know? Right.
As long as you're not allowed to go on dial up, although you can probably pass one channel on dial up. I wouldn't recommend it, but you could.
Well, I mean, there's 6 kilobit channels. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah. You probably wouldn't be able to check your mail at the same time because you know, progressive web app is torturing your 56K connection.
Yeah, absolutely. Are still people using dial-up? Well, I guess, okay. No,
they're still in the rural areas until we have Starlink. You know, there's what, 60 satellites launched today. So hopefully we don't have to worry about that much longer.
Yeah, hopefully so. And hopefully somebody can kick up my internet connection here before too long. But yeah. All right. So hopefully that wasn't a too confusing introduction to D-Star and using reflectors and specifically the open source XLX reflector system, which you can download for free and run on any system you happen to have on hand. So if digital voice technology is your bag, this might be something you'd be interested in. I got up with it so fast. Like I said, I've been using D-Star for all of like 72 hours. So it's really not that, I mean, getting my radio programmed was the biggest pain of the whole process.
So. Right. Cause you started out, you didn't have any like audio at all, right? Your audio wasn't passing through. And then you realized like the microphone wasn't connected.
Yeah. The D71, the 7100 has this thing where you set the input devices that are connected to different modes. Like if you're using analog, you can tell it you want it to be microphone, accessory port, or USB. And same with digital modes. And I just had my radio set to be on USB for both. So
wasn't getting audio breaker.
And I thought people were really, really ignoring me. I mean, I was like, I got onto REF001C, which is it's called the London Mega Reflector, mm-hmm. which is apparently connected to the entire like inner galaxy. And I was like, you know, I was keying up like, you know, kilo five tango uniform x-ray asking for a radio check, blah, 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 you know, and yep. And people would just start talking. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I mean, I know I'm connected to the reflector. So apparently they were seeing my key ups and no audio whatsoever. So,
so let's just circle back. I just want to just go over just the technology you use. So you have the IC7100 is your RF to D-Star bridge, let's yep. say. And then the XLX you installed in a virtual machine running on what OS?
Debian. Debian is the...
Debian. The scripts from K5 AMD are specifically for Debian.
N5 AMD, and yes.
N5, did I say...
You said
wrong?
K.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, N5
That's okay. AMD. fair enough. It's not like I haven't screwed up tonight myself.
Oh, no. So they are specifically for Debian.
Bacon sugar Doonesbury.
Yeah, bacon. Bacon
sugar. As I said, bacon sugar Doonesbury. That's there right. There
you go. Yeah. So they are Debian scripts specifically for version 9, right?
But I'm using 10 and it worked fine.
It worked fine for 10. So yeah, so there you go. So you can run the latest stable, right? 10 stable.
Yep,
right
latest now. Stable. Yeah, 10.3. So,
and which means you could probably run it under Ubuntu, but we didn't test that with that. And so we're not going to guarantee that. But like the scripts for sure, if you spin up a Debian box, it should work for you. And yeah, the scripts make it super, super easy to do whatever you're doing. And I guess we should mention he has scripts. Let's see here. He has installer scripts for several different ways. You can do just the XLXD, which is the Debian installer. We have the YSF Reflector Debian installer, an AmbiD Debian installer, a multi-reflector installer, and then something else that I don't think has anything to do with what that is.
Well, there's the YSF to DMR thing for doing transcoding. So there's all that stuff built in.
Yeah, it's probably the multi-reflector run.
Yeah. And by the way, connect to XLX659A if you have D-Star and talk to me. I'm on there. Usually, if I'm awake.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And you got up. I mean, yeah, you just got the rig 3 days ago, and yep. you've already got a node up and everything else. So it is super easy and it's super accessible. And you know, it doesn't take much more than a virtual machine.
No, it sure doesn't. And you know, other than the money I spent on the 7100, which was substantial. I mean, you can get into D-Star for a hell of a lot less than that. But
yeah, I think the cheapest D-Star rig would be that ID 31A something like that.
Yeah, which get like a
$189 or something like that, brand new. Something
yeah,
like that.
Get a used one for $140 or something, and
yeah, so you could get in there with that and have your UHF connection that can get you into, I guess what would you need, a Pi-Star at that point?
Pi-Star is a real easy way to do it. I mean, yeah. Pi-Star is already set up for D-Star. So, and since like the published reflectors, whether they're REFs, DCSs, XRFs, or XLXs are already there, in a drop down list, it makes it really easy to connect to any of these things. And if you build your own, and like I said, and register with the system, then yours will show up there too. But you can always do text entry to get to one that's not public. So, that's one way to do it. And of course, the rig. Pi-Star is always nice enough to let you control things from the rig. So you can do this, you can issue the same D-Star commands like you would connect to a reflector using a repeater, to connect to a reflector using Pi-Star. Exact same procedure. So if you've done one, you can do the other.
And this is where we remind you that we have two deep dives on Pi-Star.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you can go back and listen to. And it's very, very obtainable. I mean, a Pi-Star device is what, like, all together with the Raspberry Pi and everything else, what, like $100 maybe or $100?
Well, I mean, the Zoom Spot I bought was like $90 and the Raspberry Pi was 35 ish. So yeah. 100 and a quarter. Yeah.
100 and a quarter and stuff like that. You can have a box that, you know, you can talk either on Wi-Fi, which is preferable because you might want to hotspot it off your phone or whatever to use your Pi-Star. So, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, whatever rig you happen to be using, whether that be a D-Star or whatever. So, yeah, check those two podcasts out as well, talking about that good stuff. And
I will
yeah.
say that the two Pi-Star deep dives we did don't really talk much about D-Star because, like I said, up until 3 days ago, I didn't know squat about D-Star. So.
Yeah, I think we only like sort of mentioned it as an aside every time. And yeah, so we might have to get Andy back one more time to talk a little bit about D-Star and the questionable things you can do with XLX.
Yeah, I think I've already sort of silently set him on a mission to figure out a certain problem I'm having with XLX. So
yeah, so this is our teaser episode for a future part 3 of a nice chat with Andy, which I know everybody enjoys so much.
And he's a great help to everybody, and his mission is to consolidate all of these digital voice technologies into not necessarily one unified universe of digital technologies. That's what M17 is supposed to do, and hopefully we'll be talking to them sooner than later. But he has a mission, Andy, MW0MWZ, has a mission to let everything talk to everything, and I think that's a good mission, so...
Yeah,
and we're trying to get there. We're building out the network. I'm putting up reflectors. I'm getting Pi-Stars on the net, and so on and so forth. So, stay tuned. There's more to come for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's move on from XLX and D-Star and talk some quick announcements and feedback. I had one bit of feedback from Rich K0EB, who let me know that the AUG download for episode 364 was completely broken. And that's because WordPress pissed me off and changed the way they did things. And it took me quite a little bit of time and fudgery to get the editor back to where things were normal. And somewhere in the middle of that, snafu, I put a bunch of data, like the entire show notes for the episode, in the enclosure tag, which caused things to break pretty badly.
Buggered up a little bit.
Yeah, it did bugger that up just a little bit, but I did get that corrected, so the feeds are fine, and thanks, Rich, for letting us know, and it's all been corrected. So you have an announcement. So what's your announcement?
Well, also, I wanted to mention, since we were kind of talking about the website, is that if you have only subscribed to the feeds and haven't been back to the website in a while, we mentioned in the last short topic episode that the website was undergoing a little bit of refurbishment and sexiness upgrade. Well, it's all done, and it looks very sexy. So go visit it and take a look at it. And please leave us some feedback on how you think it is now. because I think it looks sexy.
I don't know about sexy, but it is definitely much better than it was.
So. Compared to where it was, yeah. It kind of looked, I'm not going to say GeoCities, but...
So, yeah, GeoCities 2.0, maybe.
Pretty close.
Yeah, but but we should mention that the redesign also made sure that the site is responsive. So it works in mobile devices now, too. So there you go.
Yes, it looks really great in a mobile device. So you can see it in your phone everywhere else. So that's great. All right, let's get on to the other announcements. We have the 10th annual GNU Radio Conference is coming up. I don't even know how we missed this. I know we followed this last year, but somehow in the midst of the COVID crisis and everything else, apparently this fell through the cracks, and somebody sent us this note that, hey, this is going on, and let me just read you the copy about it. The GNU Radio Conference, GRCon, is the annual conference for the GNU Radio Project and Community and has established itself as one of the premier industry events for software radio. It is a week-long conference that includes high-quality technical content and valuable networking opportunities. GRCon is a venue that highlights design, implementation, and theory that has been practically applied in a useful way. Alrighty. GRCon attendees come from a large variety of backgrounds, including industry, academia, government, and hobbyists. GRCon 20 will be held starting September 14th, 2020, online as a virtual event. The organizing team is hard at work to create a fun and interactive experience. Our keynote speakers include Becky Schoenfeld, W1BXY, managing editor of the QST magazine. Una Rossin, Wendy, I don't know what that means. Wendy Tan, must be her handle, hacker of signals and computer programmer, and Jim St. Ledger, director of the open source at Intel. With an annual program that has a broad appeal, GRCon attracts people new to software radio just looking to learn more, experts that want to keep their finger on the pulse and direction of the industry, and seasoned developers ready to show off their latest work. Registration is still open, and might I mention it's free. The main talk track and discussion rooms are free, and workshops are available with full registration. Link, of course, is in the show notes, so check that out. And, of course, it's over on gnuradio.org in case this doesn't come out on time and you're all listening right now on live. So check that out. And, the last thing we have is an email. Did you want to read that, or do you want me to try?
Why am I not seeing the bottom of the screen? Let me try and refresh. It was like scrolling off and I can't see. Oh, there it is. I see it now. Stupid Safari.
I'll let you read it and I'll answer it.
Okay. I'll read it and you answer it. This email came from Doug, WA3EBG. That's Whiskey Alpha 3.
ZHG.
Oh, that's a Z?
Yeah.
Gotta clean my friggin' glasses. All right. Okay, Whiskey Alpha 3, Zulu Bravo Golf.
Oh, God, Hotel Golf. Wow, you really...
Oh, my God. Okay, hang on a second. Let me get a drink here.
We're not going to make it.
Okay, Whiskey Alpha 3, Bacon Sugar Dunes brand. Okay, hang on. I really should clean my glasses, but I'm going to try and get through this. Okay, this is from Doug, WA3ZHG. Did I get that right?
That's
okay.
Much better, yeah.
All right. Hi, Russ. First, I would like to thank you for all the work you did with the YouTube videos and the Budgie ISO. Well, I didn't do those. Bill did. So thank you, Bill.
Yeah. See how much thanks I get here.
Yeah. I installed the ISO while following your videos. I had a few problems, but I got it all worked out. I thought I was running CQR log in WSJTX and had made my first contact. I finished and the log window in WSJTX popped up. I hit enter and a second window popped up. I attached a picture of the window to this email. I pressed yes and it wrote the entry to CQR log database. When I did that, the offline turned red and a tick was in front of it. I checked in the log and CQR log and info looked fine. I made another contact, and this time when I pressed OK in WSJTX log window, it did not write to the CQR log database. I found a workaround. After the first QSO, if I shut down WSJTX and then go into CQR log and reselect WSJTX remote, I am good. Seems like a long way to go for something that should be much simpler. For one more QSO before I must reload WSJTX again. I hope you can help me because this is over my head. If you want me to do something in the terminal, I will have to ask you not only to tell me what to do, but show me what to type. I know enough about Linux to be dangerous. I have bricked one or two OSs in the past. Thanks in advance. 7-3 is Doug. WA3, Zulu Hotel Golf.
Well, Doug, we have bricked many, many, many installations. So you're coming to the wrong place now. No, I went back and forth with Doug on his particular issue, and he tried a couple other things, and what I found was he had an older version of CQR log and a not too current version of WSJTX. He was running in the WSJTX via remote, so which is the right way. But I think the particular version of CQR log that he had was not quite happy with that interface between the two. And having lived through that myself, I realized that was probably the issue because I could not replicate it on my machine. So I went back and forth with them. Then he said he installed the Budgie edition. So I'm like, oh, he shouldn't have the latest versions. But it really didn't sound like he really had that. Maybe it was an older one that he installed. So I was kind of confused because it wasn't very clear. I think he ended up settling on he's now a Mint user. So he went with Mint 20 the latest one, so 2003 or 2004, 6, 7, 20, whatever, 20-something. So he installed that. Now everything is working the way it's supposed to work after about, eight emails. Most of it was me telling him, well, let me go and see if I can replicate your environment to see exactly what's going on, because I was like, I didn't have a rig hooked up, which I took a picture for everybody in the chat room. There's 3 HF rigs sitting on my table. Not a single one is hooked up. Actually, technically one is hooked up to a battery and the antenna, because I was just listening to some CW over the weekend. But it's not hooked up to a computer at all, so I can't run rig control and stuff like that. But yeah, so he eventually solved his own problem by just reinstalling the OS, going with the Mint, and then following simple installation instructions. And again, like we talk about, the videos on the interwebs are very old. They're based on 17.10 or 18.10. 18.10, yeah. No, 17.10. It was before 18.04 came out. So yeah, they're based on 17.10, which was a 6-month build before the last LTS release. So we're on the 2004 release now. So it's a 3-year-old video. It is not close to relevant. The video we just did at the QSO Today Ham Radio Expo would be the most recent one, which actually shows the video that we showed of the current Ubuntu Budgie 2004 build that we have available on the media.ne4rd.live site, and is also linked in our homepage for the builds, right? Yeah, download Ubuntu LHS builds. Whatever. So if you go there, sorry, I just kind of read it as I click the button and then it disappeared. So if you go there, the very first file, of course, is the Ubuntu Budgie 2004.1 build that I just did last month on the 7th. I did it real quickly. I tested it real quickly. And then we did a live video about it. And wow, lo and behold, it actually worked. It installed. And it did install everything correctly. Of course, it is not the current version of WSJTX, because that is 2.2.2, which is not available in the repos yet. You would still have to download the source on that and compile it, and then take your CQR log, go in the preferences, and link to that particular build, which is actually super simple, because then you don't even have to worry about it being, in the path, so you don't have to worry about doing the actual install. You can just build it, and then wherever you built it at, you can actually point it to that directory to actually run it from CQR log in remote mode. Makes it way, way simpler. So, it's quite possible that when I actually get around to doing a real video, which I have the box sitting here on the desk, I have the real hardware I'm going to do the videos on sitting on top of the tote to my left. So, and now I have my son has cleared out of my other desk, so I can actually set that stuff up there, and I can put all this stuff together and make the video. So we have some current videos on how to do stuff today, not from 3 years ago. So, Yeah. So hopefully, Doug there, right? This is Doug, right? Doug.
Yes.
WA3ZHG.
So,
so hopefully he's all set. And, thank you for listening, Doug. And thank you for dealing with me not being able to answer your question, but I'm so happy that you found a path, to your solution, even though you installed Mint. Sorry. I'm just kidding. Mint is fine. Mint works great. And, it works just the same because it sits on top of Ubuntu. So anything that we say for Ubuntu will work for that. Great. So he's all set. And, thank you for sending us feedback.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. We do appreciate you listening. And where did the chat room stuff go?
I don't know. Is it not there?
It is gone.
I didn't do it. I think you put it in there while you were disconnected. Because I haven't put anybody in. But I know I can just kind of read it.
Yeah, we can try and figure it out.
So we have Bryce K0NYX is in the chat room tonight. We have Ted WA0EIR. We have Stacy KB7YS. We have Don KC9ZMY. And let's see, who else am I missing?
We had Tony K4XSS.
Tony, can't forget Tony. Yeah, and we had N2XDD.
That's Ed N2XDD. We had James AA1FR. Yep. Who else? Oh, we had Jonas Rulo. Not sure. I thought I put one or two other people in there, but it's gone. So
I'm scrolling back. I'm not seeing any new calls. So I think that's everyone probably that has chattered since we started.
Yeah, I think so. I think there were a couple others that I threw in there as I saw them. I think there was, Steve, K7HVT. I think he was in there for a bit, or maybe Steve KD0IJP. I don't know. Let's just mention people.
Yeah, sure.
Chris KTUX, and all the folks who were with us tonight and listening to this craziness.
Yeah, I mean, technically we have over 340 people connected to, or registered in the chat room. Looks like about 40 or 50 are actually online in some sort of...
some fashion or other, probably... Playing inactive, some game active, or something.
Muted, or playing video game.
Yeah. Listening to some other podcast. Yeah, I know. All right. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening to this episode. We really appreciate it. Thanks for all the feedback. Please send us more, especially about the website or anything else you'd like to hear about, deep type topics, you know, anything we can do, we try and help. I mean, that's what we're here for, spreading the good word about open source and using it in amateur radio and all the great projects that are out there that you can participate in. So with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this deep dive episode number 365 of Linux in the Ham Shack. For the On Assignment, Cheryl, W5MOO, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD, 73.